Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully Henley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's sports station.
The Kevin White thing's just bizarre. I don't know what else to say about it. And Dustin asked the question, if the coach is trying to self-aggrandize, should he be fired? And I think that's way, I mean, we have no idea what's really going on here or how they're going to explain this. It's such a small thing. It's such a weird little thing.
But we asked the question the other day, is it a good thing or a bad thing that the wide receivers coach decided that he needed to show Kevin White highlights from his college days to remind him how good a player he is? And national headlines, including Pro Football Talk, said Bears show Kevin White college tape to show him he was once a good football player.
That's probably what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about don't believe the stories and all that. It's probably the fact that it was picked up nationally that upsets him.
And that it demeans him.
It does demean him. It says that he obviously hasn't been the player they thought he was going to be. Guess what? He hasn't been the player they thought he was going to be. He was the 7th overall pick in the draft. That's a pretty high pick, and you would like to get something out of him. And he's been basically injured for a couple of years. And when he was on the field, he didn't have this explosiveness. He didn't have this presence. There's a picture in the Tribune of him at West Virginia, and he's making a one-handed catch in the end zone. I mean, that looks pretty awesome. Have we seen that?
No.
Do you look at him and say, hey, you know what? Let Alshon Jeffrey go every day of the week and twice on Sunday. You don't need that guy. You got this guy.
No.
Mully and Henley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
I did want to thank the White Sox bullpen for securing the Jays minus 1.5 victory yesterday. That was very nice later on in the afternoon.
Absolute degenerate.
Just fade him.
Mully Henley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Ah, it's a lovely and gorgeous Friday in the fine city of Chicago.
Ready for the big playoff preview?
I'm ready for, is it going to rain again today? It's like, it's unseasonably cool right now.
Yes.
It was a little chill.
For some football weather?
It was a little chill in the air.
Yeah.
No, I think that when you work these hours and you work this show, I think it's a good idea to just walk over to the lake and plunge in. It'll revive you.
My surprise this morning is there weren't a number of Lollapalooza.
The garage people. Was pretty clear.
The streets were clear though, because I guess that downpour chased everyone. Usually during Lollapalooza, down here around Grant Park, and
right, we park in the Millennium Garage. And we get there early, and there are a lot of empty beer cans
and a lot of kids who come
overthrow of garbage.
Yeah, and a lot of kids
a lot
who come
of urine.
In, a lot of kids who come in to the city for the 3-day, 4-day music fest don't spend the money for the premium hotel prices that I guess all the hotels jack the price up. So usually you see them kind of
around.
Yeah, you see them sleeping on plazas and just hanging out waiting for the day to start again. But boy, those downpours, which obviously impacted the Cubs game throughout. And went on last night. I guess that they had to call the music fest off a little early last night.
I guess it's the epidemic of drugs in this country, but there seemed to be a lot more kind of younger homeless people down in that area down below the garage.
Yeah, that's been going on for a couple of years now.
But it's a relatively new phenomenon. It is going on for a couple of years, but you're seeing sort of a growth in that demographic.
Not exactly the growth in demographic you want.
No, not what you're
young,
finding.
Young
no,
drug I, abusers.
But I'm saying they are. They're clearly younger people.
Well,
and they're
clearly gopped up. I mean,
yes, because they're sleeping down there.
No, they're dancing in the streets when you're trying to get.
There's been a rash of, we come in the morning and those, what are they called? The bicycles, the rentals?
Divvies.
Divvy, excuse me. I nearly said pivy and I knew it wasn't pivy. The divvy. Bicycles. I've seen several of them just kind of abandoned in various spots.
Ooh, they're not going to get their deposit back.
No, I think maybe they've stolen the credit card. I'm guessing. But if you get like a massive divvy bill, you could just come over by Millennium Park and pick the thing up.
I'll get it back to
there's
you.
There's a few of them there. I am always tempted. It's a terrible thing. And it's not a crime of opportunity or anything. I'm just tempted to go on a joyride. Just to, you know, wouldn't it be fun to go down that hill on a bike? And I have to kind of stop myself. No.
Yeah, I think I saw Lord riding a divvy around Millennium Park last night after the rains.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
the juice is good also.
Yeah. Okay. The Cubs, that game was, you want to talk about a Cubapalooza, that thing went on and on and on. It turned into some sort of a, I mean, how many, there was an hour and a half delay to get it going, right?
Yes.
And then there was the delay within it.
35 minutes.
And then?
Ninth inning, 30 minutes.
Okay.
2:35.
All right. It was a long time.
Joe's sitting down in the post game and not even in his chair yet. Hey, we played a day-night doubleheader.
It felt that way, didn't it?
Yeah. It only counts as one loss, but it felt like it could have count as two because Jose Quintana got roughed up.
Yes, he lost, but he didn't lose. It felt like all the comebacks and everything, too. It was at one point I was convinced the Cubs were going to win.
Yeah, like when they took the lead.
That's what I thought.
They have one of the best bullpens in baseball. Not the last 2 days.
No.
Wilson Wade Davis is doing things he's never done in years.
He's never blown a save.
He's never given up consecutive home runs.
That wasn't a save situation. That was the big error there.
He's now given up 3 home runs since the Cubs signed him, which does not a lot. But for Wade Davis, he didn't do that for like 200 innings with Kansas City Royals.
Are we not throwing out yesterday as a flukish type of thing? He gave up 2 home runs. I mean, I'm just asking.
Yeah, and you can excuse the weather and everything else, and Quintana had to wait the 90 minutes, but so did Greinke. And if, you know, ultimately Wilson Contreras at least got to Greinke. That's just – when you take that lead after coming back from 6-1 down and you get that 7-6 lead, you should be able to finish off the job. And again, it was 8-8 and you had opportunities, and guess what? I guess if Wilson Contreras isn't up, you don't get an opportunity to have an inning.
I'm just saying there seemed to be – some extenuating circumstances with that game yesterday. I know coming in that I'm going to hear that Quintana is not a big game pitcher, and I'm already geared up for it.
First thing he said to me when he saw me this morning, he goes off on a Quintana rant.
Yeah,
Dustin was wound up.
But again,
there's no negatives for me, honestly.
Yeah, he didn't want to hear that either. Dustin said, I don't want to talk about it.
That's the most outrageous thing of the whole lot. No negatives for me, honestly.
There's no negatives for me, honestly.
I've got a few.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Really?
I mean, I'm not gonna lose sleep over it, but if you really want to analyze the game, there are a few negatives there. Not saying.
I mean, the day before, you scored no runs, and you're going to win a lot of games if you do that again. And then today,
there's no negatives.
Yeah. Really?
You did score a lot of runs.
No.
Eventually.
But the day when they scored no runs, Madden thought if you continued to do that, you'd win plenty of games.
That's Joe. That's Joe being Joe. You kind of have to get used to that. It really takes something it takes 17 strikeouts for Joe to find a negative.
Milwaukee actually won yesterday.
Yeah.
And so the lead is now a game and a half.
Yep.
Don't know if anybody cares because there's too many other issues to list, but it's just – the division that was over, that we saw absolutely ended, it's still over, but no one's told Milwaukee yet, so they have to learn that. It's a big series coming up against the Nationals for that reason. The good news is the Nationals have no pitching. You're not going to face any of their guys. They've got various injuries and an assortment of ales, and there's no reason to believe you're going to
have a pale ale?
They might have a couple of pale ales. Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
Let's go.
Yeah, you were hoping for some marquee matchups.
I don't think you're going to find them.
No.
So that's a good thing.
You might get Edwin Jackson one of these games.
You're
going
to get Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, there's a game you should win.
That's a game.
Feel free to give the old Cub hurler a little welcome home.
Yeah, should be interesting. And Wilson Contreras, as you said, Dustin, was very good. It's just Paul Goldschmidt was a little bit better.
Until he decided to bunt with a guy on, the bunting was bizarre.
He said afterward that he had 2 left-handers coming up behind him, so there was no need to tie the game or something along those lines. What?
But he was doing it on his own.
He had a strike on him, and he saw that somebody was playing back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're not going to expect this.
I wasn't expecting this either.
As
nobody
said, can you bunt it onto Waveland Avenue?
Well,
yeah.
Check the flags.
So anyway, what are you going to do?
You'll see the shirt.
Yeah. Bunted onto Waveland. That's the new,
How about J.D.
T-shirt.
Martinez? He wasn't Paul Goldschmidt yesterday, but, you know, he had the home run after Goldschmidt in the ninth.
Right.
He's got 8 hits since the trade, all right? 8 hits for the Diamondbacks, 6 home runs.
That's a nice
ratio. That's a nice ratio.
You'd like to see him get more hits. That's yeah. It's a home run joke.
I got you.
Yeah. The Red Sox, they beat the White Sox 9-5. But Nicky Delmonico hit his first career homer, a 3-run shot in the third. He said that he ran the bases too fast. He should have, in retrospect, he should have enjoyed it more. And then they gave him the whole.
Yeah.
No one acknowledged him.
And the rookie.
Yeah. You love that. Yeah. That's always fun.
Well, you go through the dugout and no one pays attention. You high five air and you have your
Moncada
own celebration.
Back in the lineup and he batted cleanup. He was 0-for-2, but he had 2 walks and a very good defensive play.
That was a hell of a play.
Yes, it was.
I mean, going towards third, almost at the shortstop position, throwing in air, you know, complete. What a great throw.
And Willie Garcia, who was the other person in the incident that happened,
he was the nail.
He was
not the hammer.
Kind of the collision, and he, it turns out, has had surgery, broken jaw. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. But Moncada did walk twice.
Poor
Willie Garcia, man.
I said it from the moment it happened. Cart comes out for Yoan Moncada, and Ozzie said yesterday, he said, I'm a little concerned that, you know, the one guy who got all the got the business end of it is walking off, even though he doesn't remember what the hell just happened. And now he had surgery to repair a broken jaw.
Ouch.
And the other guy's making a highlight reel play a couple days later. That was the guy on the cart.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes no sense.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, it's like
it's the pecking order. It's what
I don't think it's the pecking order. I just think that sometimes injuries are worse than they look. You know, I mean, Chris Bryant stepped on third base and was, you know, I thought his career might be in jeopardy.
Just a benign little,
and he was right back.
I don't know if he's right back. By
he was back in 2 games. Right?
I know. I mean, he's physically back, but
that might have been the pinky thing.
Yeah, that's pretty
close. This one.
It's pretty quiet.
Didn't he miss a game with a pinky injury?
Pretty quiet. 20 home runs and 47 RBI is.
Well, he'll get going once he gets that extended spring training. The weather forced the Bears to move to the indoors. They always get a lot done anyway. You can get a lot done indoors in football. Doesn't matter if you're on the field or not. Yeah. And just in case you're wondering, I'm just shaking my head.
They do it in the Arena League all the time. I don't see the problem.
They get a lot
they get
of good
a lot
work
done. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Dowell Logans and Vic Fangio will speak to the media for the first time post-practice today.
Hope they're on their best behavior.
We should rush down there.
Yeah, Zach Zani will be there taking notes on how to do that.
Find out everything that's going on. The first preseason game is in the books, and it was the Cowboys over the Cardinals 2018. You see the quarterbacks who started that game?
Gave you that winning teaser, by the way.
Did you? Did you cash on that? I didn't watch them.
Over and the points. It was 20. It was they scored. They scored. It was 15-10 after the first quarter.
What was the line? What was the line on the points?
35.
What? No. I'm not total on the game.
We've got to get to the 5-5. Yeah. You guys could discuss this during the break.
I don't think
anyone's actually listening for that. I
can't believe Dustin cashed on a teaser on the first game of the season.
And we got a coaches poll in college football, and it's very kind of the Big Ten. And we'll tell you more about that later. We'll get into the. All the things going on Cubs-wise and Sox and the Bears, we have a lot planned for you in the 5-5. Next, Molly and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Time now for a Chicago baseball game day schedule presented by Boost Mobile. The Cubs take on the Nationals this afternoon over at Wrigley Field, and the White Sox play the Red Sox tonight. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule brought to you by Boost Mobile. Switch to Boost Mobile's best family plan and get 4 lines for just $25 per line each with unlimited gigs. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
It's 5-5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5-5 with Mully and Hanley,
starts now.
Who was the biggest disappointment yesterday for the Cubs? Quintana, the bullpen, or Bryant?
You know, I got to say it's the bullpen because, you know, Quintana did not have a good start. I understand that. But they came back and they were in a position to win the game. And then that's when they had their problems. And C.J. Edwards did a great job in the dance-off. That's always fun to see. But make sure you're not walking people and getting guys on base to come back to bite you. So I would say the bullpen, you know, obviously Justin Wilson and C.J. Edwards and go ahead and throw in Wade Davis, too.
Yeah, that's I'm with you on that. They get my vote because that's 2 days running where the bullpen, again, elite, second best in the National League, top five in Major League Baseball. You just added Justin Wilson. I give him the first day jitters and hurrying his pitches and all that. But yesterday when you come out there and after C.J. Edwards, is you noted, Mully, had the two consecutive bases on balls issued. He comes in and gives up two consecutive hits. You know, that someone's got to pick somebody up out there. And then Wade Davis not being Wade Davis. I'll give him a lot of leeway and a lot of rope because that's the first time he's really faltered. But
C.J. Edwards up 0-2 in both those walks or just the first? I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, pitchers counts for sure. And so that's the disappointing thing. But a close second, I'm going to give Quintana a pass, too. And I know we talk about first inning runs and a four spot like that is going to kill you. But you did wait 90 minutes. Maybe that threw him off. I don't know. You know, I'll give him the one day. Chris Bryant, 1-for-5, 2 strikeouts. And the strikeouts were one thing. But when you come up in the eighth inning and you have the bases loaded and you end the inning with a flyout, you got to be better than that. And, I mean, you've been very quiet here, and the strikeouts are starting to add up. You have 88 strikeouts and 368 plate appearances. Again, it's wonderful to have 20 home runs and have consecutive seasons with 20-plus home runs, 20 or more home runs. But, you know, if you're going to get the big bucks someday, God bless him. He's done enough. He could retire tomorrow, and he'd have a huge place in Cubs lore and Cub fans' hearts. But those are the games you got to lean on your big guys. To can't all be on the young catcher to pick up the team. So disappointing Chris Bryant yesterday.
Yeah, very disappointing. 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Quintana had that dud. Maybe if you meet up in the playoffs, I don't know if you want to throw Quintana out there. Remember the last time he faced Arizona, he was lit up for 8 runs back in May when he was with the White Sox. But I have to go to the bullpen. I know it was rough conditions out there yesterday, a weird situation with 3 different rain delays. But right now, these are probably options 1 and 2. High leverage situations, playoff games, tough offenses like the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Nationals, who we're going to today, maybe even the Rockies. These are the guys that are going to have to come through. Wade Davis and C.J. Edwards. These are the guys in probably inning 7, 8, and 9 that are going to win games. And we've talked about how important the bullpen is right now. So I would definitely say of the three, most disappointed in the bullpen in that loss.
None of the three were good, that's for sure. I mean, Quintana was, the curveball absolutely had nothing on it in the first inning. I believe Brandon Drury hit one off that video board at some point during that inning. Chris Bryant wasn't good. Kyle Schwarber was pretty bad. But I think the bullpen takes it for me as well here, given the fact that it has been such a strength of the team so far this year. Brian, you brought it up in the first segment. Wade Davis has already allowed more home runs this year than he did all of his years as an ace reliever with Kansas City. That's a little worrisome. Justin Wilson, you made a trade for him, gave up a lot. He's not been so sharp his first couple outings. And Carl Edwards Jr., who has been maybe the most consistent guy out there all year long, didn't have anything yesterday either. So I know Arizona's a good team. I know Quintana didn't have a great start. I know they left a lot of guys on base, but you're going to be facing offenses like this in the playoffs. And if the bullpen is not going to be able to get it done, then you're not going to go very far in the playoffs.
And that's, you just set it up, that you're going to be facing offenses like this in the playoffs. See, teams win when they score runs. Arizona's been scoring runs, and if the Dodgers weren't playing like off the charts, you know, once in a lifetime type season that they're having, Arizona being first place out west. Quintana's big thing was, oh, he saves bullpens. He does that was awful. I don't hear about 90-minute delay. You can't give up those home runs like that. You cannot give up. And then there's another delay. He comes back out and gives up another home run. Come on.
John Lackey says okay.
Come on. That was I would have loved. I would have loved to have gotten murdered this morning. Not literally. But with all the trolling.
Easy.
I would have,
in this if city, Quintana, someone might accommodate
if Quintana
you.
Would have gotten through six innings, I would have gotten four texts and a phone call from somebody on this panel, okay, talking about how great this guy was and what a brilliant trade it was. Instead, I got crickets. Okay, nothing. The guy stunk out loud yesterday. That was an embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment to go out there. The bullpen too. Molly, thank you for pointing it out. While you and I both agreed that it's been fun to see the bullpen do the dance with the home runs, you know, feel free if you're going to dance, and he's probably one of the best, if not the best dancer, but feel free to not walk people, okay? Feel free. And Bruce, you know, Bruce is tweeting about, oh, you know, Quintana got, you know, squeezed by the umpires. He's tweeting that out there. Give me a break, okay? That was an awful, awful performance. That was a big game situation at home, playoff atmosphere, and he failed miserably.
If he hadn't been traded from the Sox, would you be this vehement about Quintana's performance?
I said this before. I said no matter where he went, he wasn't the type of... I said this to Kevin, too, just before the show started. This isn't about Quintana over to the Cubs. Quintana is just... He's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. He is not a great pitcher. He is not a guy that you're going to go to in a situation where you need to win a game.
Yeah, you are. Get that. Actually, you are going to go to him.
Who would have texted you and who would have called you? That's very interesting.
You and you.
I would have called you because I'm a front stabber. I'm a Scaramucci type. I don't backstab.
If he would have gone like 1-2-3 in the first inning with three strikeouts, that would have been the text. And then after four, and he had like a one hitter going, that would have been the phone call.
I got news for you. You're going to go to him in October to win a big game. So,
well, then Contreras better not be buttoned in the ninth inning.
Then you better close it down when the bullpen comes in and it starts.
Well, that's a good question, Brian.
Wilson Contreras is the blank best player on the Cubs.
Well, he's the, we talked about it last week, was it premature to say he's been the MVP of the season? He's been the most consecutive. He's been the biggest, the guy who comes up in the clutch most and delivers most often. And the numbers, I mean, the numbers right now are pretty terrific for a guy who you weren't sure what you're going to get for a full season of Wilson Contreras. And once Montero left, all of a sudden the onus is on this guy to really carry, not only keep his offense going, but to continue to direct that pitching staff. But since the All-Star game, what, he has 7 home runs. He has 18 home runs, 2 fewer than Chris Bryant. He's got 24 RBI since the All-Star break. So, I mean, he's arguably their best player. I mean, because from start of the season to now, he's a guy you can count on more often than not.
It's a very interesting question, and it's one that we rush to way too early always. I think that, you know, he is playing as well as anybody on the team, no question about it. He has been carrying them. He carried them yesterday. He just shouldn't have tried to bunt, but he did carry them. And I do think, though, that despite some of the great performances, we kept hearing that, you know, Addison Russell's going to win an MVP. You know, Schwarber's headed to the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, we do rush a little bit quickly on some guys. For my money, the Cubs are Rizzo, Bryant, John Lester, and then start filling in guys after that. So he's no more than the fourth best player on the Cubs in their organization, whatever way you want to define that. But he's been their hottest player of late. He's a really good player, and I'm you know, pleased to watch.
I took it for this season. Yeah, if you're talking,
yeah, I'm just saying. I
yeah,
think
if you're talking about,
we're
core
always
group,
going
yeah,
into
right.
You know, because it's going to be hard for him to win the MVP over Addison Russell when his time comes.
No, I took it. The question being, who's the best player this year? Because certainly, if you're talking about a body,
right now
of,
he's been their best player. Yeah. But if you start talking about who
else,
oh,
yeah, no, he's not. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely, I put him in that team picture, in that top four team picture with the elite guys on this team now, with, of course, Bryant, an MVP, Lester's won 3 rings, and then Rizzo. That's how good he's been. I mean, he's now played only 172 games at this level. This is a guy that was in the minor leagues, brought in by Jim Hendry. He played every position in the minors except for shortstop and center field.
And then they realize, oh, this guy's a catcher. And by the way, he can also play the outfield at this level. He's on pace for 27 home runs and 98 RBIs, and we're in August now. I mean, this is an unbelievable season that he's had. The most important defensive position, he's working with veterans, some that seem to be very tough to work with, like John Lackey. And just looking at the numbers, this is Dustin's favorite part, but looking at the Fangraphs WAR, they're saying he's a top three catcher in this league. His WAR at 2.8 behind Buster Posey, who's been an MVP in this league, and only JT Realmuto. He's had 67 stolen bases against, but I don't know that that's really a fair stat.
No, not with this staff,
no.
With this pitching staff.
No, listen to this. Since 2013, Lester, Arrieta, and Lackey, all in the bottom five
right.
in the league in stolen bases against as far as pitchers.
I mean, Montero was, what, one of 67
oh,
or something
geez.
Like that?
I mean, that
Seriously.
Nationals game.
Yeah.
Just think about that. That's all you need right there. Yeah, so he's in that team picture, and he's under contract. He's under control longer than Chris Bryant.
Not only, like Joe just mentioned, is Wilson Contreras a top three catcher via Fangraphs. He's a top three player on the Cubs right now, the only two players with higher WAR, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. So I think that's a pretty fair assessment. I wouldn't take him over Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo, but I still think that he has contributed more than anybody else besides those two guys. I know a lot of people are down on Chris Bryant this year. Like you said, Brian, quiet 20 home runs, low RBI total, but he is still as consistent as hell. I mean, I'm not worried about Chris Bryant whatsoever. I'm not disappointed in him or anything like that. I think he's going to be just fine. The thing about Contreras, though, is that not only has he been hot as a pistol since the All-Star break with the bat, he's been doing it with the glove
Absolutely.
All year long. And it's not just throwing out runners. It's calling a good game. It's having a good rapport with the starting pitchers. It's blocking balls in the dirt. He is such a complete player with such little experience, like Joe said. This is a guy that wasn't even playing catcher
he
up
sold
until
me,
a couple
he
years
He sold
ago.
Me on that tag play. Immediately he's telling the dugout, you know, go to the video. And he missed it by a foot and a half, but he sold me the way I thought, me, did he get him?
And I know the thing that Dustin likes about him is he's clutch. He's got the stones. He comes
Absolutely.
Through with the big
Huge.
Hits.
He's not intimidated by anything.
Never. So right now, I would put him in the top three right there with Rizzo and Bryant, Brizzo, if you will. But lots of room to get better and better. I don't see any
You got him
cap.
Ahead of Lester?
I have him ahead of John Lester for this season, absolutely.
Oh. I'm going to agree with almost everything Kevin said there. I am a little bit worried about Bryant. That was kind of those are again big moments yesterday. It was really interesting. Tom Ricketts was sitting right there with his son, right in the front row in their seats, obviously, and just the stoic. I rewound it actually, backed up the DVR just to see if there was any like if the fandom was still in him, like shoot or darn or something or, like. Puts his head down. I mean, he didn't even blink. The look on his face the entire at-bat, through the at-bat, as Bryant walked back to the dugout with leaving those two guys on base. I would say right now that the Cubs would be five games behind the Brewers, and we wouldn't have Justin Wilson on the Cubs right now if it were not for Wilson Contreras. Wilson Contreras has carried that team since the All-Star break. Let the good times, good vibes roll. I loved his reaction. You know, again, he is a type of guy, though. If he was on another team, you'd not like him. He, you know, that first home run yesterday, the way he whipped his bat down and stared at the ball.
Okay, how about 2 days ago, he could have gotten thrown out of that game. He had replaced Avila. Then they go to Schwarber behind the plate? I mean, he's got to know. I understand he's an emotional player. But he's got to know that you can't get tossed there, son, and he didn't.
Well, I think if it was any other time in the game, he would have been tossed. But it was the ninth, so why bother?
Can you bunt the ball onto Waveland? That's my question.
Any extra juice for Cubs Nationals in an NLDS preview?
My hips hurt.
Yeah, I think there is always juice for Cubs Nationals. It's Dusty Baker back at Wrigley. It's there's a lot of fun stuff that come with that. I mean, the fact that their pitching staff is suffering some injuries and they've got some guys missing their turn in the rotation, that takes a little of the juice out of it. But sure, this is a team, you know, this is a team that you can and hopefully will catch. I think the Dodgers are a little too far away, but it'd be nice to have a little home field over these guys, and this is the way to go about it. I'll be very curious, will they walk Bryce Harper, or would that prevent him from then signing with them as a free agent? I don't know how that works, but there's a lot of fun little storylines and plots and good things that happen when these two teams meet, and I think that they are on a collision course of sorts to see who gets to the Dodgers, and yeah, I think it's a fun series for that reason. Hopefully they take care of business.
Yeah, the only thing that's missing to really make this one of those extra juice type series is the pitching matchups, because you're not seeing Strasburg, you're not seeing Scherzer. With
that's
the
too bad, too.
Yeah,
I'd love to see
right.
that.
And you are getting Lackey, and believe me, in the playoffs, Lackey's not taking the ball for one of those games, assuming everyone else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that leaves you lacking a little bit. The fact that Dusty Baker is firmly in the conversation for National League Manager of the Year. Because some people just say, well, Dave Roberts, you know, who cares if the Dodgers are going to have a historic win total? He doesn't get credit for that because Clayton Kershaw was healthy for the most part and, you know, Cody Bellinger showed up and all this stuff. Guys, he's just dismissed. But Torey Lovullo, the manager,
yeah.
I mean, Dusty Baker, though, look at that bullpen. And he's been asking the front office to do something about it, and they did a little bit, but maybe not enough.
And that's another thing. They've added guys to that bullpen. We don't know how good they are, but can they dance? That's something we could find out.
We'll find out this weekend. The Nats bullpen, the first 2.5 months, averaged allowing 5.6 runs per 9 innings. And opponent's OPS was 798. So, dude, Dusty is firmly in the conversation. Joe is not in the conversation for Manager of the Year at this point. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting to see a great offensive club against what hopefully is the Cubs' best defense. And the Cubs should have the better of the pitching. I know you get Gio Gonzalez one day, but if Edwin Jackson goes Sunday and certainly got Lester going, you should have the advantage on the mound for the series.
It's a yeah, but. So it's the NLDS matchup. I think we're all pretty sure that that's what it's going to be, and it's been that way for a couple of months already because the Nationals ran away early on from the rest of the NL East. And the butt part, unfortunately, is because of no Scherzer, no Strasburg. When you talk about the strength of the Nationals, what wins in the playoffs, it usually comes down to the pitching, and you don't have your number one and your number two starters going here. But what I'll be looking for is you have Hendricks and Lester going against this Nationals offense that has scored the most runs in the National League. And these are guys you're going to have to depend on in the postseason. So how do Hendricks and Lester do against the Nationals? And also, how Dusty handles the bullpen. They added a few arms before the deadline, and Rizzo certainly needed to do that, and Doolittle and Madsen and Kinsler. Who's the closer? You added a bunch of guys, but who's the closer now? Who ends up being the closer once you get to the postseason?
Matt Albers.
Oh, boy. I heard Rizzo in an interview the other day.
Rizzo, right? Not,
yes. Right.
Not Tony.
Tony, yes. And he mentioned three new relievers, and then right after that, he started talking about how great Albers has been this year.
Oh, boy.
So you're going to have to figure out a lockdown closer. That's pretty important in the playoffs, I heard. So I'll be watching for that, too.
Matt Albers, great dancer, though, is what I've heard about him.
Dances like rerun.
Jiggle it.
He does have a 2.03 ERA this year.
I know.
Shout out to Matt Albers. You know, this is... I don't know if I can get juiced up for this. The pitching matchups just aren't there for me. I'm a big advocate of great starting pitching, which is why I was really excited to watch the game yesterday. It ended up taking a different turn, but that was the juiciest on paper pitching matchup. And none of these matchups here in this Nationals Cubs series this weekend are very juicy. You have Tanner Roark, who Chris Bosio, I remember saying on the show, had no idea who that was at a point last year. Kyle Hendricks, it'll be interesting to see how he's continuing to come back from his injury. I guess that's something to watch for today. But then TBA, Saturday, Sunday is what I'm looking at here. So
looks like Gio Gonzalez on Saturday.
Gio Gonzalez is kind of touch and go right now. I believe he's expecting the birth of his second child. Well, his wife is. But so they don't know. He could go, could not go. That one's kind of up in the air. He's a good pitcher, almost threw a no-hitter his last time out. So if he decides to go in the series, that would give me a little bit more juice. But, you know, I was more interested in this Cubs-Diamondbacks series. Maybe it's because I watch the Diamondbacks more than I watch the Nationals. I think they're a very entertaining team to watch, and I think potentially, you know, they're going to be somebody down the line that you might have to see in the playoffs. So not a ton of juice right now, but of course I'll be intently watching.
There's juice because it's down to 1.5, that lead in the Central, Molly, that you pointed out. So that's where the juice is. The pitching matchups. So here's the problem. If the Cubs lose the series and Gio Gonzalez doesn't go, okay, then it's, oh, Cubs stink. They didn't even face the good guys. Imagine what's going to happen then. If the Cubs sweep or win the series, well, they didn't have to face anybody, so it didn't matter, blah, 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 blah. Listen, win 2 out of 3, really make my day, win all 3, and things will be just fine. I'm always juiced, so yes.
The juice is good also.
I'd like not to answer any personal questions, but if you have any baseball questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
If the Cubs had to decide today, should Bryce Harper or Chris Bryant get their free agent money first?
I know they could afford both of them, but are they willing to put almost $800 million or more in two players? There's no salary cap, there's a luxury tax, and we know there's a baseball budget when it comes to what the Cubs spend. But if you had to decide today, do you put a premium on the position that Chris Bryant plays and his versatility? Certainly offensively, Bryce Harper gets more than the nod here, but Chris Bryant's also won you a World Series and was an MVP last year in the National League. But I think if you look at metrics like WAR, it's not really close. I mean, as much as you're looking at Chris Bryant's 17.4 WAR baseball reference, you can go to Fangraphs, 25.8 on the career of Bryce Harper. But, man, that's a tough call because I do value defense. I do value the fact that Chris Bryant's done everything that you've asked of him to do to this point. But it's a tough call. And, you know, the Cub fan in me says absolutely Chris Bryant. But if I had to make a decision today, if I was Theo and Jed and I only had the $400 million or so in the bank and I had to make a decision, I guess I'd go Bryce Harper.
I think Bryce Harper's the better player. I think Chris Bryant is the lifelong Cub. I think it's not even close. You just... He's your guy. He's your guy you've won with. He's broken the ceiling on every expectation. He was the minor league player of the year. He's the rookie of the year. He's the MVP. And you won a World Series. I just think he belongs with the Cubs for eternity, and they need to make sure that that happens. And if they can get Bryce Harper, it'd be phenomenal. But I would not go from building around Chris Bryant to building around Bryce Harper. Bryant is the one that offers absolutely no drama. He's a total, you know, class kid, always does the right thing. I don't think you can say the same about Bryce Harper. I understand the idea is just to be the best you can be. I don't think he's significantly better to the point where you would prioritize him over your guy.
This MVP or that MVP? Bryce Harper, this is actually his sixth season, and this is Bryant's third.
Right.
And Harper's younger. That's how
it's
early he came up.
Ridiculous how long he's already been around, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to even fathom it.
If you want the superstar, if you want the guy that's going to sell more jerseys, if you want to be talked about nationally more than you already are, even though that's hard to imagine, you go with Bryce Harper. But I don't see how you could possibly say, yeah, we're moving on from Chris Bryant. You've got him here forever. Until Scott Boras and him go to free agency. But the question is, if he had to decide today,
I know what right. the Cubs are going to do when it comes time.
I would do Bryant when he's already the MVP. You know what you're going to get from the guy. He's not going to embarrass your organization either. And he's a stud player, one of the few best. And he's right next to Harper in that short list of conversation superstar-wise. So I would just stick with the guy that you know. And I would stick with Bryant.
Yeah, Bryant, it's only his third season in the majors, Chris Bryant. It's unbelievable when you think about it. It seems like this Cubs era has already been going on for 40 years in my mind. But, you know, it is so close between these two players, Molly, like you were just saying. I mean, Bryant, the better defender, a little bit more versatile. Harper, more power, probably a higher ceiling offensively. I don't know. It's hard to cut it here. It's hard to pick one. I guess I'm going to have to go with the tiebreaker. I will go with the hair. And in that case, it has to be Bryce Harper, just one of the most majestic manes in all of professional sports. And that puts him ahead of Chris Bryant here ever so slightly.
You know, Molly, I thought you made a good point that I didn't think about when we started to go and answer this question. It's the drama. I think when you get down to it, and Brian, you also made a good point about defense, right? You can find guys to play corner outfield spots, third base, much harder position to fill. Obviously, so based on the zero, and not even low, not even low drama, right?
I mean,
we're talking a Blutarski, a 0.00 drama.
Okay? Won't drink.
And the fact that he plays a good enough third base and could clearly play either corner outfield spots if you needed him to. And he could also play first base if you needed him to. For right this second, Chris Bryant gets my cash.
Really loaded question.
Would you rather see Jay Cutler have a reunion with Adam Gase in Miami or broadcast the Bears season opener and the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, what I would rather see or what should he do? Those are two kind of different issues. I'd rather watch the guy as a broadcaster. I'm interested in it. But if I were him, I would try to play down in Miami with Adam Gase. I thought he played well with Gase, and I thought that, he kind of retired prematurely, that he had more in his career, he had more he could do, and no one wanted to see it. This would be a great opportunity for the guy to maybe find a little success down in Miami. Who knows how long that could go on? That's a pretty decent team. I like Adam Gase a lot. I think, again, that he and Cutler really did. I think that was legit, and I think that he should go to Miami. Personally, I have high hopes for the guy as a broadcaster because I don't think he has anyone to protect, and hopefully that means that he would just be honest and he would say exactly what he thinks and exactly what he's seeing. And I know the guy is a smart guy, and I know he sees a lot. And if he wasn't protecting anybody, that would be groundbreaking stuff. I think he could be absolutely phenomenal as a broadcaster if he allowed himself to. So I will go with I want to see the guy in the booth, but he should actually go to Miami.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We should probably bring the listeners up to speed. Ryan Tannehill, non-contact injury yesterday. Well, he had the MRI, and the MRI came back that the left knee, which he had a brace on during practice because he has a partial tear of the ACL, which he chose not to have operated on in the offseason. He had stem cells therapy for it. So it locked up. The MRI showed it was as structurally sound after the practice or injury as it was before because, again, there was a partial tear there. So it doesn't seem like it's season ending. It might not even be a number of weeks, but he's going to have a second opinion. And ultimately, he might decide to wait eight weeks before he even decides on surgery. So right now you are talking about a couple months into the season, and you have to do something at the quarterback position. So, you know,
obviously everyone's talking about Kaepernick because he's the guy that's on the market that's available. But Jay has played in the system.
With Adam Gase.
He knows the offense. He would move in much more seamlessly than anyone else. So this one,
and he's not going to back
not,
up.
This one's not about a league agenda or a conspiracy.
They have the perfect out that this guy has. And look, he's not going to hold the clipboard while Matt Moore runs around there either. Jay's only going to take that job if it's his job to take. So I mean, I would love to see how that played out down in Miami. Just because it doesn't shock me that Jay's in the broadcast booth, because I really thought he was going to hang it up if he didn't get it. A starting job on a team that could contend. I didn't think he was going to go to some NFL outpost and start just for the sake. But it would be interesting to see if he's got any more seasons left in him. And could you imagine if he actually got to a playoff outside of Bears uniform?
Against Tom Brady?
Yeah, help.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how Jay is in the booth and how honest he's going to be whenever that is. So if he decides to play, if they reach out to him and he goes down and plays with the Dolphins, broadcasting is still going to be there. They talked about how he just knocked it out of the park. So you would think that Fox or somebody else would still want to bring him in as a broadcaster, and we would still see that. I would love to see for this year. I want to see him play football. Yeah. I want to see him go to the Dolphins. Can we get a repeat of 2015? Are we going to be talking about Adam Gase protecting Jay from himself? And that's the year that everybody was talking about Gase becoming a head coach. You have the strong run game. Jay Ajayi is the running back. He exploded last year. He had three 200-yard games. You have some nice options at receiver. Jarvis Landry out of the slot. Devontae Parker, a lot of people like as a young guy on the outside. The problem is you have to deal with the Patriots twice a year, but I hope he plays.
I would rather see him in the booth, personally. I'm done seeing Jay play. I was a big fan of his when he was here, an advocate, somebody who would defend him, you know, when he needed to be defended, which was often. But he threw 2,782 passes in the NFL.
I thought you were going to say picks.
I don't need to see any more. And by the way, it's a 35-year-old who's been injured a million times, who tore his labrum less than a year ago. Do we even know if he's healthy enough to play quarterback right now at a high enough level? I'm not sure. that he is. I'm not sure that he feels that he is. I think he's mentally checked out, and he'll be in the booth, and I'll be happy to see him there.
While I do think it's going to be really interesting to hear him call games, and Mully, I'm with you about the whole he's got no buddies, it seems like, in this league.
It's perfect. So,
right, it's absolutely perfect. No organization is going to bring him in.
Didn't even have friends on his own team, let alone the rest of the league.
Right, right. So I'm saying no team's going to bring him in to be a special consultant or a quarterback whisperer or work with this guy in the – there's nothing to that. So he could just be absolute free flow. But for our purposes – I think him going with Gaze, because here's the thing. It goes back to, should the Bears have not let Gaze get out of here and kept Gaze with Cutler, and what would that have looked like? What would Gaze and Cutler... Now, again, I also come from the side that I don't... While his numbers, and Kevin and Joe can go in the update studio together and whatever.
Easy, okay. Easy.
Over the metrics.
Yeah. You got vacation next week, but relax.
They do it one at a time. Joe is doing the update now, and then Kevin sometimes does them later. That's ridiculous.
Just because Jay didn't throw a bunch of interceptions under Adam Gaze doesn't mean he had a great year under Adam Gaze. It was a lot of dump, 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 check down, dump. There wasn't a lot of going downfield and a lot of big number. So his interception numbers were down with Adam Gaze, but... All that being said, I'd love to see Adam Gaze and Jay Cutler together in South Beach.
All right, that is our 5 at 5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.